Hey, thank you. Kind of going off what Pastor Joey said, I couldn't help but think while I was sitting there and watching Aaron, who I grew up with, and just thinking 5 years ago, whoever thought that he would be helping lead the music and I'd be preaching. It's just cool to see what God does when you trust him. So today we're going to be looking at Jonah, the story of Jonah. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Jonah chapter 2. When you were a kid, or while you are a kid, did you ever disobey your parents when they told you to do something? Or were you a perfect child like me who always obeyed your parents the first time you were told to do something? Because as you know, I am a perfect child. Today we are going to be looking at a man from the Bible who not only disobeyed God, but tried to run away as far as he could from what God asked him to do. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Jonah, and we will be looking at chapter 2 today. When you hear someone mention Jonah, what do you think of? When I hear it, I think of a man who disobeyed the Lord and ran from the will of God. But God wasn't about to let that happen. God knew where Jonah was and made his life hard till he was willing to repent and do what God knew God asked him to do. God did this by sending a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the fish for 3 days before he finally gave up and submitted to God's will for his life. Today we're going to be looking at three great truths we learn from the story of Jonah while Jonah was in the belly of the fish. We see, first of all, we need to recognize we need God's help. Secondly, we need to pray and ask God to help us. And third, we need to thank God for not giving up on us. Now let's look at verses 1 through 3 of Jonah chapter 2. The Bible says, "Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, 'I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the sea, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me.'" So the first truth I want to look at from this passage is we need to recognize we need God's help. So we come to chapter 2 of the book of Jonah. It is important to remember that Jonah wrote this book of the Bible after it happened. So when Jonah wrote the book of Jonah, this was probably after his ministry to the Ninevites. And he was, who knows what he was doing, sitting on his front porch, sipping his coffee. God's, "Hey Jonah, I want you to write the story of when I sent you to the Ninevites." And as we think about this, and we read chapter 1 and we hear how Jonah ran from God, it's important to remember that the Ninevites were the Assyrians. It was a Assyrian city. And the Assyrians were one of Israel's biggest enemies. Like, it is very possible that the Assyrians could have killed some of Jonah's friends or his family members. We don't know that for sure, but it's very possible that could have happened. And the Assyrians were known in this time period for thinking of the worst ways possible to kill their captives. Like, for instance, Assyrians figured out a way that they could skin a person alive and they would live for over a day. Like, they did some crazy things. So Jonah is writing these words. He is thinking about all that has happened and trying to tell us exactly what he was thinking and what he was going through. In these few verses, we see how Jonah is at the end of himself, and he is crying out to God and telling God that he can't do it anymore by himself, as we see in verse 2. So when Jonah's coming, he got on the boat, and he ran. He went as far as he could the other way. Storm came, and the sailors threw Jonah overboard, and God calmed the storm. So, and that because of that, the sailors on that ship believed that there was a God. And we can learn from the sailors and from the story of Jonah that God doesn't want our stuff. Because the sailors, they threw everything off the boat. They threw their food, they threw their luggage, they threw their tools, everything off the boat. But God doesn't want our stuff. God wants us. So the sailors learned that lesson. And so did Jonah. He learned that lesson in chapter 1. So Jonah said he was in the belly of Shiloh, and he cried out to God. Now, whenever we see the word Shiloh in the Bible, it is a word that in our language would mean the grave or hell. So Jonah is literally saying he knew he was going to die if God didn't do something about his circumstances. And let's read verse 2 again, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Shiloh I cried, and you heard my voice. So Jonah was literally face to face to death. He said, I'm in the belly of this fish. If God doesn't do something, this fish's stomach acid is going to kill me. God's got to do something or I'm dead. What do you do when you are faced with a situation where it seems like no matter what decision you make, it will be the wrong one? Do you just give up, or do you turn and ask God to help you? You see, Jonah tried everything he knew how to do, and God closed the door. He was trying to run as far away from the will of God as he could get, but God wasn't about to give up on him. And when Jonah finally realized that he wasn't going to get away from God, he surrendered to God, and God was ready and waiting to help him. Do you run from God whenever he tells you to do something? Or do you submit to what he is saying and do what God is asking you to do? Now let's look at what Jonah recognizes, that when Jonah recognizes he can't do it himself and needs God's help. So let's read verses 4 through 7. And this is Jonah. Jonah said, Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head. In the roots of the mountains I went down into the land, whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. Secondly, we need to pray and ask God to help us. Here in verse 4, Jonah starts telling us about the prayer he prayed from the belly of the fish. We see in this verse that Jonah realized he messed up and was going away from God. In verses 5 and 6, Jonah is telling us about all the bad things that have happened to him since he turned from God and started doing things his own way. And let's look at some of the things Jonah describes, going back to verses 5 and 6. He said, The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head. At the roots of the mountains, I went down to the land, whose bars closed upon me forever. All the things Jonah describes in these two verses are things in his life that were keeping him from doing God's will. So Jonah points out the weeds and how he's in the deep part of the ocean. He's at the mountains. It feels like he's barred in. He's locked into the bottom of the ocean. And these are things Jonah's describing that's keeping him from going and preaching to the Ninevites, which was God's will for Jonah's life. So what's some things that are distracting you from doing God's will? Maybe it's a relationship that you're a part of that's not healthy and that person isn't pointing you to God or helping you grow closer to Him. Or maybe it's your job. You're taking too much time and spending it on work when you should be spending time with your family or spending time doing your devotions, growing closer to God. Or maybe it's sports or whatever you want to put there. What is taking your time that doesn't matter for eternity? Now, we need to do different things as part of our daily lives to live and to grow and strive on this earth. But if you're like me, you do a lot of things that you don't really have to do, that don't really make a difference for eternity. And Jonah is telling us these are things that distract him, just like them things can distract us from doing God's will. So if Jonah would have just gone to Nineveh like God told him to do in the first place, none of these things would have happened to him. You see, we always have more problems and trials in our life when we try to do things our way instead of God's way. So, I mean, Jonah was in the belly of the fish. But if Jonah would have just went to Nineveh, he wouldn't have had to deal with any of them things. Yeah, Jonah would have had problems. I mean, maybe he would have ran into a thief on the road to Nineveh, or maybe he would have ran out of water, or someone attacked him, whatever. I mean, there still would have been problems, but they would have been a lot smaller problems if Jonah did what God asked him to do in the first place, instead of him wanting to do his own thing, and then God having to break him, God having to go to him where he was at and saying, "Hey, Jonah, you're going to do what I told you to do." So when you're thinking about something that God wants you to do and you don't want to do it, there's a good chance that the easier way is to do what God asked you to do the first time. And I'm not saying you're not going to have problems, but I'm saying, and we see from this passage, that is, it will be a lot easier, and your life will have more meaning. When I was a kid, I always wanted to do things my own way. And because of this, sometimes I wouldn't listen to my dad or older brothers when they were trying to explain something to me, because I wanted to do it myself. I remember one time, my older brother, he got a new 12-gauge. I'm like 10 at the time. I don't know. It's a little kid. And I'm thinking to myself, I want to shoot this 12-gauge. Never shot a 12-gauge before. I mean, as most of you who know me now, I love shotgun hunting, whatever. It was my first time, and they're out shooting at a can or something in the yard. And I'm there, "Hey, let me shoot that." And after a while, they're like, "Okay, you can shoot it, whatever." And they're like, "Here you go. Here's the gun." He just had birdshot in it. I mean, the lightest shells you can shoot in a shotgun, a 12-gauge. And there, "You want to make sure you're braced just right so you don't fall backwards." And I'm like, yeah, blah, blah, blah. I've shot a 22 before. I'll be fine. So I get there. They give me the gun, and I shoot. And it knocked me right on my butt. I did not brace myself right. And yeah, it's kind of a simple story, a little stupid story, but it goes to show how dumb we are when we don't listen. And yeah, that's me not listening to my older brother or my dad's about how to shoot a gun and brace yourself when you shoot a gun. But what about when God tells you how to do something? Do you say, "Yeah, God, I got this. I don't need you. I know you made me and you're made the world, you control everything, but God, I got this one. I got this one myself. I don't need you." See, how dumb does that sound? And that's really what we're saying when we try to do something on our own. When we try to figure stuff out our own way instead of saying, "God, how do you want me to do this? What do you want me to do in this situation? What decision do you want me to make?" See, when Jonah realized that his only way not to die was to actually cry out and pray to God, God started changing his life. But it took him till he was all the way at the bottom of the sea in the fish's belly before he realized that it was either do things God's way and live, or do things His way and die. Facing death has a way of making a person deal with what really matters, one commentator said. How do you respond when you are faced with a life-changing trial in your life? Do you trust in yourself, or do you turn to God and let Him change your life into who He wants you to be? And going back to the story, that first time I shot the shotgun, it scared me. I'm like, this is a lot bigger gun than I thought. But now, growing up, realizing how the value it has when you can shoot a shotgun well. And now, I love shotgun hunting. Shotgun hunting is my favorite outdoor activity. But I never would have had that experience if I didn't take the time to listen to my instructors. And so many times, if we don't take the time to listen to God, we're missing something that could change our lives for the better. Finally, we need to be thankful to God for not giving up on us. Let's read Jonah chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Those who paid regards to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah up onto the dry land. We need to thank God for not giving up on us. Jonah realized at the beginning of verse 8 how foolish he was to try and do stuff his own way and trust in what he thought was best for himself. When the Bible says vain are worthless idols here, Jonah is talking about his own opinions and desires. So you see in verse 8, it says, thou hast paid regards to my vain idols. So Jonah is saying, and when we keep reading verse 8, Jonah says, you are abandoning your hope and your love. Basically, Jonah is saying, if you try to live life your own way, he's basically saying you're an idiot. I mean, it's really what Jonah's saying. You're an idiot and you're abandoning the love and the hope and all the blessings God can bring to your life. You're just throwing that away when you try to do things your own way, when you run from God, when you don't do what God is asking you to do. And you are throwing away all the good things God brings to one of His followers' lives. In Hebrews 11:6, the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, Jonah went in that ship, tried to sail to Tarshish, get as far away from Nineveh as he can. Not only was Tarshish a different city, Tarshish was three times as far, the total opposite direction of Nineveh. So Jonah has literally said, God, I'm not going to do this, and I'm running as far as I can from Nineveh. So Jonah's faith, he didn't have faith, and it was impossible for Jonah. Now, God could have still used Jonah in Tarshish if he wanted to, but that wasn't God's plan for Jonah. When Jonah realized that he was forsaking God and the hope and love God brings to a person's life when they trust in Him, it changed his life and made him thankful for all that God has done for him. When we come to verse 9 of our passage, we see that Jonah was thankful that God is giving him a second chance to make things right and do what God asked him to do in the first place. Because Jonah finally realized that his salvation was not his own, and that he was not had not been saved to do his own will, but to do the Lord's will. It changed his life. But the sad thing is, Jonah almost had to lose his life before he understood this great truth. As we read verse 9, Jonah says, I, with a voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. Whatever I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. So Jonah's saying, God, you were right. I messed up, and I'm thankful that you are giving me a second chance. And we remember that Jonah wrote this, his prayer. Chapter 2 is Jonah's prayer. Jonah wrote this after the fact. So Jonah was thankful. He's, I'm so thankful you saved me out of that fish. Saying, I'll sacrifice to you. Now, if we know the Israelite sacrifice, there was a lot of bloodshed and fire and burning animals. Now, Jonah couldn't do that in the belly of the fish. But Jonah said, God, I'm going to sacrifice my life to what you want me to do and go to Nineveh. Now, remember, these Ninevites, they're wicked people. They're as bad as they can get. Jonah hated them. Like, they killed people he knew, more than likely. Jonah said, God, I'll give that up and do what you want. Because this is what is right. You save me from that sea. You save me from my sin. You brought salvation to me. Who am I to hold it from these people? Even though I hate them. So Jonah's saying, salvation belongs to the Lord. Are you willing to do God's will the first time he asks you? Or do you try to do your own thing till God makes you listen to him? While you may be able to run from the will of God, you can never run from the presence of God. So what is God asking you to do? What's God's will for your life? Are you doing that? Are you trying to run from God? Because, yeah, you can not do what God asks you to do, but you can't get away from him. He's always there. God is omnipresent. His presence fills the whole earth. So we see in the Psalms, God said, you're in the depths of the sea, I was there. Even if you're in hell, I was there. If you're in the heavens, guess what? I'm there too. So yeah, you may be able to run from the will of God, but you can never run from the presence of God. Remember, pray and cry out to God when you recognize your need, his help. Get right with God when he shows you your sin, and give thanks to God for not giving up on you when you reject him. Because no one knows when they are going to come face to face with death. In the belly of the fish, Jonah came face to face with death. He knew that if God didn't do a miracle, he was going to die in the belly of that fish. So I am challenging you, and I think Jonah would be too if he was here today, that you need to get right with God now, so you are ready to listen and obey him whenever he shows you your next step in life, no matter what it is. Listen to God when he directs your life.